Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Conscription. And we know we've problems in society. We know we have problems with young people, like this young man, 20 years of age, who has no discipline in his life, I suppose, and needs a bit of schedule, a bit of discipline. And in the old days, there was conscription. Now, a lot of countries around the world, by the way, still have what they call military script conscription. Some have no forced conscription. Some have conscription was abolished and they did have it at some point. Some have voluntary conscription. But we kind of do have voluntary. You can go into the FCA if you want to for a while. Well, it's not called the FCA anymore. Sure, it's not. What's it called now? The volunteer forces or whatever it's called. Then you have selective conscription. That's where you may just pick male or female. In some countries, by the way, it's only men that are conscripted. You have compulsory military service for both genders in other countries. And now some countries have conscription of up to 18 months and I believe 4 years. Now, I was looking at the list there of countries and I'm surprised, by the way, of the countries that do have military conscription. And a lot of countries still do. Like, some have mandatory military service. Armenia, Austria, Belarus, Bermuda, surprisingly enough, Brazil, Cyprus, Denmark, Egypt, Finland, Greece, all have military conscription, where you have no choice in the matter. You have to go into the army. There's a heap of countries there that don't. Conscientious objection to military service in Greece, by the way. In other words, you can, if you have conscientious objection, in other words, if you're a Christian, for example. Remember that movie there recently? Iran, Israel, Mexico, Morocco, North Korea, Norway, Russia, Singapore, South Korea, Switzerland, Taiwan, Thailand, Tunisia, Turkey, Ukraine, and the United Arab Emirates all have conscription. Now, if you have a medical reason, in most countries you can get away with it, or as in Greece, some countries will allow what they call conscientious objection. But I suppose you have to prove that in some way. But the whole idea is between the age of 18 and, say, 24 years of age, it gives young people some discipline. And it's fair to say, and I don't want to insult people in the army in this country, but many years ago, the army was a place that you sent young boys in particular. Girls weren't going to the army in those days. But young boys who had gone wayward. Young boys who lacked education. Maybe who couldn't get a job at anything else. You just go to the army. And that's not to suggest, by the way, that people in the army are all uneducated. And those times have changed, certainly. But that was the way it was. And it put schedule into people's lives. And if you look at, say, Americans, and most Americans, American men in particular, have been in the military at some point. A lot of, particularly over the age of, say, 50, have all been in the military because they would have been involved in conscription. America had conscription, I think, right up to the 1980s. But even now, most young men, a lot of young men will go into the military or they'll have military schools. And there's something about the discipline. Like, for example, if you're in southern states and you're on holidays, you'll notice it more so in the southern states. When you see a young man of 25 or 26 years of age working in a shop or a store, whatever it happens to be, or a mechanic or somebody fixing your car if you crashed it, whatever it happens to be, they are very polite. Everything is yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Where do they get that from? They generally don't get it from their parents. A lot of them will get it from the military. And the way they do things, they're tidy, they clean up after them, they can cook, they can iron their own clothes, all that kind of stuff. They get it from being in the military. So it's not just about holding a gun and shooting somebody, because that's the last thing, of course, you want your child to be doing, is going to war. And war is primarily, compared to what we would have had, you know, up to about 30 years ago, the chances now of going to war are quite slim, because most wars now are fought on computers or through social media or through politics. So wars are not really a thing anymore. Okay, I know it's still going on a little bit in the Middle East, but not so much around the rest of the world. So do you think it's a good idea, conscription in general? And the reason we're talking about it is because Thomas contacted us and wants to talk about it. Thomas, good afternoon, or good evening to you.
Hi there, Niall, good evening. How are you keeping?
Good. Thomas, first of all, what got you thinking about the idea of conscription?
Well, Niall, first of all, I don't like using that word, conscription. I'd rather just kind of call it national service.
Okay.
And, you know, I think conscription was used back in World War One as a sort of like a means to...
Well, they were still doing it in America, for example, up to the 80s. They're still doing it in some countries and they call it conscription.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's that. But no, I'm talking about a kind of national service where it's like a kind of like a program to get, like, say, young, like, say, disaffected young people,
mm-hmm.
say in Ireland.
Yeah.
Britain applies as well because it was the subject of a documentary series, I believe, that was in the early 2000s. And that was kind of what kind of inspired me to talk about the subject. It was called Bad Lads Army.
Okay. And like a boot camp, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah. Like a spin-off, like the name of the spin-off from Dad's Army, of course. But if you look at, but you know, in the show, first of all, it was a reality TV show. It looked at, you know, modern day youth gangs and the kind of the trouble that they create in society. They're unemployed. They dropped out of school, and they just got nothing in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's sort of this context needs to be applied to say to suggest young people and young people who have got nothing in their lives except, you know, PlayStation, or they've got no education essentially. So I'm speaking from that angle. So I think
And they've no social education, which is more important sometimes than academia.
Well,
So what would you? By the way, I'm not writing off your idea, Thomas. By the way, because I do agree with you to some extent, but I'm wondering what you're thinking, or what do you see in your head? So, at the age of what age, and or can they choose? Say between 18 and 24, would it be a 1 year period, or would it be a 4 year period, part time, or what way would you work it, or what way do you think would work best?
I think, you know, here's the thing though, give them 2 years, right? Or give them a year at least. But I'd say roughly 2 years. I know in France, it's roughly like a month. But I'm looking at say about 1 to 2 years. And just put them, you know, put them in boots, put them in a berry, and you know, by the end of that year, they'll come out completely civilized. So they might have, it'll look good on their CV. It will help them probably get them to college. You know, I mean, like, there's so many possibilities that the Army can, like, you know, can give to people these days. I'm interested in joining the Army myself, and I'd love to see how it can help me kind of prepare for my own kind of future.
And how old are you, Thomas?
I'm 23 years of age, huh?
22.
Yes, yes.
Okay,
yes.
And you're thinking of joining the Army, and I mean...
Well, part-time.
Oh, okay, because I was in the FCA when I was only 16 at the time, I was in the FCA. It's not called the FCA anymore, it's called the Volunteer Army, or whatever they call it nowadays.
Yeah.
Volunteer Defence Forces, isn't that what it's called now?
Yeah, okay,
and so is that what you're thinking of going to the Volunteers?
Yeah, like voluntary service, yeah.
Yeah, and by the way, and don't get me wrong, I think it did me good too. I was... we were meant to be 18, but myself and a load of mates in my class, we all lied and got in. In those days, it was easier to lie about your age. And we all got in. We went on camp for 2 weeks during the summer. It was up at 6 o'clock in the morning. You had to work in the kitchens, down to firing ranges, marching around squares, you know, and keeping your boots clean, keeping your buttons shiny, all that kind of stuff. And basically keeping yourself, you know, right. And I think it does the world a good. It gets, you know, schedule into your life. And I think it does work well for people.
Absolutely, Niall. Yeah, I would see it primarily as like civic duty.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the UK, and in the UK, should definitely reintroduce some kind of like a reintroduce national service, and it worked really, really well. But that was more like for reserve lists, so young men could actually join reserves,
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, units.
Yeah,
they wouldn't be called to they wouldn't be called to. Say called a war or anything. I know Mike.
Well, I think this is going to be less. I mean, going forward, I can't, with the exception of what's happening in the Middle East, unfortunately.
But there isn't
going to be wars, I don't think.
Yes, but that's what we need. We need less war, but some kind of like your civic duty
absolutely.
To young people to rehab. It's called rehabilitation, not militarization.
Well, I think every country is not going to have an army anymore. Countries will have defence forces, which is what we have. We don't have an army. We have a defence force.
That's better suited to today's world, you know?
By the way, if you were going to join the army tomorrow, would you join the Irish army or the British army? Just curious.
No, I've looked at, well, you know, I've got a lot of respect for the Irish Army. I absolutely do. I think, but I think, you know, this government has stabbed them in the back completely.
Well,
you know,
pay-wise, they certainly have.
Pay-wise, yeah. And the group levels are low. And I would certainly think about doing that. The British Army has actually been of interest as well. And
well, you've got better prospects with the British Army. I mean, because, and by the way, that's no disrespect to the Irish Army, but it's a bigger country, bigger population, and, you know, there's a lot more skills to learn in the British Army and more places to see, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend who's actually serving over there right now. And you know,
yeah, no, I know somebody who's serving with the RAF over there as well, you know, and he's enjoying it.
I think you know, in that regard, like, though, I mean, if you look at, I mean, you look at Britain, like in that show I was saying about Bad Lads Army, it just looked at, like, some of the most really, really kind of scum of the earth. Delinquents, you know. I don't want to say it in a bad light, but that's kind of.
I know. Yeah, they children who went wayward and were brought up badly and ended up as wayward teenagers, mixing with the wrong kids, and ended up in gangs. And the army does knock a little bit of sense back into them again about the life in general.
Absolutely does. It toughens them up. And that's what I think needs to happen. And I think the other thing as well. I would like to see this. I don't know if this is the right. I don't know if it's the right way to say this, but I would like to see what's called universal national service. I think every country around the world should have it, from Australia to India.
I'm not going to completely disagree with you, right? But I'm wondering how you do it. Do you do it on a part-time basis, or do you do it on a one-year-out full-time basis, or a part-time basis maybe over 2 years where they do weekends? Or what way do you do that?
I think they should start it off right with 1 year.
So, in other words, if I'm a kid, I leave school and I want to go to college, I do this before I go to college. Is that probably the best way to do it, or do I do it after I finish college? Or can you choose? Can people be allowed to choose? Because in some countries, they let you choose when you do it.
You should be given that choice, yes. But, and you were mentioning there about the 2 year kind of voluntary period. And that's someone which I think should work for the most part. And that's what I think should be the most kind of ideal for a lot of young people when they're going to be drafted into the army. Yeah. But give it a year and just try 1 year and see how it works, and then kind of go and see how it goes. I mean, you could be saying there's a 97% or 95% success rate of, like, young people who might be rehabilitated and they might be going back in society, and they should be given the option of going to join the army as well.
I'm with you. But do me a favor, just stay there for a second, because I'm just looking through the text. When he says, no war is not, what happened to your prediction about civil war in the USA? Niall Christ, you change your mind as much as Aisling changes her cars. Beep, beep, says Kevin in Limerick. Well, I just said there will be wars, but they're fought differently. Wars, I mean, look, obviously the war, the civil war in America, which is probably happening at the moment and has been happening for the last since 2011, I suppose, with Black Lives Matter and everything else that's been going over there. It's fought slowly and it's fought by the police. In Italy, all young people will have to serve in the army for 1 to 2 years, I think. So somebody here, I'm just looking. Did I see Italy on my list? Italy, it says here, country without mandatory service. So Italy isn't without mandatory. So I don't think it's mandatory in Italy. I think you can choose to do it. I suppose it depends. Maybe, I don't know, there's maybe conditions in some countries. If you don't go to college, you've got to go to service. Stay there, please, Thomas. Morris, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Morris?
How you doing? What's that young man's name, Thomas?
Thomas.
Yeah, I'd like to congratulate you on your ideas. You're a very forward-thinking young man. If there was more people like you in the country, I think Ireland would be in a better place. So we admire you from that. Being an ex-army serviceman myself, Thomas. Noel, I think it has a great idea. Yeah. I've said this once or twice on your show. I think 18 months national service by male and female.
That's a long time, isn't it?
It's nothing out of your life. 18 months is nothing. How long did they do in transition year, sitting around scratching their butts? Oh, I might think up an idea about making a business.
I get you, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think another action too, I was getting ideas when Thomas was speaking. If you have a young guy or a young girl that's in trouble with the courts and they have a chance of either going to jail or spending 2 years national service and see how they do as a sentence, And then the army will step in and offer them a 5-year contract for a career if it works out for both sides. I think that's a good idea.
Good idea. I agree with you.
The reason I'm thinking about this is I never thought I'd live in an Ireland where two 13 or 14 year olds.
Do me a favour. Unfortunately, there's new restrictions now on naming. I know it's daft, but there are new restrictions on naming somebody or a minor who's been a victim of a crime. So please don't mention her name again, Morris, if you can.
No problem. By the way, I
find it shocking. At the time of that particular crime, we mentioned that young girl's name, and her name deserves to be mentioned because she was a victim. Yeah, but unfortunately, there was new restrictions brought in by the High Court there going back a while ago. Now, they are going to try and get that change back again so they can name them. But for that purpose alone, we're not allowed to name the victims. Okay.
Sorry about that.
No, no, that's okay. No, but I think we all know exactly what you're thinking.
Yeah.
And at no stage do we ever think that young people would be responsible for such a heinous crime. Exactly. But unfortunately, that's the world we live in now, where young people are responsible for very serious crimes. I think Thomas's idea is not a bad idea. I just don't know how well it would go down or how well it would be received by people. Can I go back in time, Morris, when you went to the army?
Yeah.
What year did you join the army?
79. And I'll just give you an example. My father done 24 year service. My brother Jack done 12. Michael done 9, and I done 3.
So the army was a natural thing for you, your family to do.
Yes,
but would it be fair to say, and I don't want to insult the men and women of the army, and particularly the men of those days, because it was mainly men in those days, right?
Yeah.
Was the army a place, or am I wrong in thinking, where kids who didn't maybe have a great education, great background, or who were in a bit of trouble ended up kind of going to the army, couldn't get a job anywhere else? Was that the kind of way it was?
In those days, you could walk in off the street and join the army, right? Mm. But because it was in my blood and my family, national service, you couldn't do a better thing than to serve your nation or your country, to put on a uniform and represent, I'm an Irishman, I want to do my military service for my country and my family.
And we do lack that in this country. You go to America, for example, they're quite patriotic people.
Yeah.
And they feel it's their duty to join, you know, to be in the military. And they're very proud of their military, by the way.
Yeah, well, my brother went right through an educational system and he was in the army, Jack, and he ended up on the same pay as a sergeant. He was a top radio operator and went on to be an instructor. But unfortunately, it didn't work out. He had an accident and had to leave. My father was a medic for 24 years in Brickens Hospital, and Michael ended up being an engineer, and then he transferred to the Navy. I went in and I learned how to drive. I already knew how to drive when I went in, and I became a bomb disposal driver. And I got special skills, but I didn't want to make a career of it, because when I came out in 82, there was more job opportunities. And since 82, I've been in full employment at the same job for the last nearly 40 years.
Okay, and just on what Thomas was saying, do you believe that it made the man of you, so to speak?
Very much so. It taught me discipline, it taught me respect, it taught me community, it taught me about pulling 30 guys that are total strangers into a fighting unit, camaraderie, being there for one another. Would you give your life for another man to save his life? Of course you would, because you're taught that. They're changing you from a civilian into a soldier. And with that comes respect, dignity and pride. You can't buy that on the street of a corner in Dublin going, oh, I'm just having another spliff, man. We don't know tomorrow. It's not guaranteed. Live for today. And that's the attitude that they'll
take. But by the way, in most countries in the world, Morris, there was conscription. Yeah. Ireland, I don't think, actually ever had conscription.
Conscription means they were sending you to war.
Well, not necessarily.
That's what you're saying, because, like, Morris, can I just first of all say thanks for, thanks for sharing your story. I've got
no problem
back for you, you know, as an ex-soldier, and regarding the conscription, that was if you had to go off, and like I said earlier on, like, that was if you had to go off and fight in the war.
Vietnam.
That was the last time in America would have been Vietnam, yeah.
Well, like, my granduncle, he was Thomas as well, went off to join the British Army, and he served in World War II.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he didn't have to go, and it wasn't conscription at all. He could just go and join the effort to combat, you know, the biggest threat that was, the biggest tyranny that was in Europe at the time. And, it's almost like he must have been like around 18 years old when he kind of joined to go through such a bloody hell, you know, to fight this, to fight fascism. And you know, here's the thing that really bugs me as well. 18-year-olds today complain about fascism. They say anything that's right.
Your phone is just a little bit muffled there, Thomas. Sorry, are you holding it sort of sideways on your face? It's difficult to hear you. You were saying about young 18-year-olds there. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. Young 18-year-olds, like, though, for some reason, like, they are just, like, complain too much and are easily triggered. And
well, that's a huge problem in society, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I think they're complete snowflakes. They don't know what it was like. Like, they're so addicted to their phones, you know, and always complaining about fascism, and when they don't see it. Like, the real fascism was the fascism that my granduncle fought.
Mm-hmm.
He fought. He gave his life. He didn't have to do it. He went, he gave his life. And today, you know, do you lads get my point? Do you get my point?
No. I get completely what you're saying. I mean, and I absolutely agree with you about young people, particularly in the colleges nowadays, because that's where all this triggering has started. You know, that people get offended by everything. They're too soft, is what you're saying.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, well, just stay there both of you a second, because I want to bring Jude in as well. Jude, you're in Classic Kids. How are you doing, Jude?
Not too bad at all. No.
Jude, in the Netherlands, I don't know about the Netherlands. You're originally from the Netherlands. Do they have military service in the Netherlands?
They did, up until the '80s, early '80s.
Okay, all right, okay. And you weren't roped in, were you?
No, I wouldn't have done it anyway.
Right, okay. You would have used your conscientious objection, would you?
No, I wouldn't have done it. Now, don't get me wrong, I have family members still in armies.
Okay.
I do have family members in armies. But I wouldn't do it. I don't think no country is worth dying for. But Morris was just saying, oh, well, first of all, the conscription, I think, is rotten. If it's not voluntary, how can it be a good thing? Like, why, if you say a 17 or 18-year-old, why would they want another adult telling them to go to bed and what time to go to bed at?
But isn't that the whole principle, to learn to be disciplined?
So the army is a panacea and it's a silver bullet. If you want to discipline someone, put them into the army. So why have a justice system have jail? Isn't that what that's there for? Someone breaks the law.
There's a huge difference in going to jail and going to the army. You don't learn anything in jail. Well, you're meant to, but you don't.
No,
you're locked in a bit of cell. You're not taking people's freedom away.
Oh, well, conscription. If you're in the army, you have a certain amount of people that are taken away. Like, I've never been there, but I'm sure you can't just leave your barracks or whatever, your training, whatever, just when you want.
Well, I think, for example, if you're in Defence Forces in Ireland, I think it's kind of 9 to 5, most of it, isn't it? I mean, it's not like we're at war or something like that.
No, and I'm not saying I'm not in the Defence Forces. Yeah. But also, Morris was just saying there, he never thought about those teenagers. Not just about those particular teenagers, but those teenagers were teenagers. The army, they wouldn't be known for being in an army anyway. So that was a ridiculous, mute point.
I think the point he's making is that kids today, you know, think very differently than the kids of the 1960s and 70s.
All generations do, but
that's okay, that's fair to say. But in saying that, I think we're at, I hate to use Stephen Donnelly's term, a tipping point. I mean, we are at a tipping point of morality when it comes to, and I think Thomas made the idea very maturely there when he talked about the fact that nowadays so many teenagers, the kind of 20-year-olds in college, you know, they don't have a thick skin anymore.
Yeah, but okay,
they're upset about everything.
The army is not, going into an army or the defence forces or whatever, not in Ireland, but any other country. I don't understand how that is, like I said, a silver bullet. Like Morris was saying there, you're a soldier, you get respect. It's brilliant. Being a soldier does not make you a better, more elite person than anyone else.
It does make you better. I think it does make you a better person. Sorry, Morris, you can answer. Morris, you can answer that if you want to.
Is that the elitist? No, I don't think it's elitist. I'm talking about somebody that, you know, they can see no future, they have nothing. And if they're 17 and they're wondering what to do in life, just to give them a bit of direction. I'm not trying to turn them into, like, Black Ops or something like that, you know what I mean? Or going around with an Uzi machine gun shooting up everybody and being the top man and robbing banks like the games they're playing now. That's what's corrupting young people today. And, like, I was only making a comparison, Jude, about something that went on in this country that I thought I'd never live to see in my country. That's what puts me on a downer. That this country has gone so bad that them things are happening in my country. And I don't want that happening in my country. That's why I was making the comparison.
But the army have been, the National Service or conscription has nothing got to do with those things not happening. They would value happen regardless.
I'm just saying, I never thought I'd live in an Ireland that I'm proud of, that things like that would go on in my country. Now, I know they go on all over the world. But for me to have to live through that and to have grandchildren living in a society where that's going on, it makes me a little bit concerned that we've lost touch with the young people today. And I remember going to school, Noel, I'm not sure about you. The Army Careers people come into the school.
That's how I ended up going to the FCA, by the way. Yeah.
Well, I already knew I was going to the Army because of my father and my brothers. So when they came in, it just went, you know what, Sully, give it 3 years and see how you get on. And that's what I did. Mm. And I'm still friends with people today that I met in 1979.
Are you familiar, by the way, Thomas, with in America they have the military schools?
For officers.
The high schools, which are military schools in America, are you familiar with them?
I know of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're not a bad idea, too. They kind of knock sense into a 13 or 14-year-old, these military schools.
Every year?
I'm not saying for everybody, but I think it's easy for people to weed out. I mean, and count, you know, social workers, etc., and the Garda Síochána can see the individuals who are going to end up in trouble.
Oh, well, speaking of weeding out, to get into these schools, well, actually, you're seeing documentaries about that. Most of them are elite. They're top colleges, you know.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Are.
But you have to pass certain physical requirements to get in there. You have to there's special tests. It's very hard to get into them. So it's not just everybody can get into these.
No, I'm just talking about I'm talking about the concept of them, not so much the method of getting in and out of them. I don't understand your main objection to Thomas's idea. You know, I know it's a bit radical. I understand his idea seems radical, but I wouldn't write it off. I mean, I think we are at it, as I said, a tipping point in society when it comes to morality. And I think we have to do something before things get a little bit out of control. And we have to thicken their skin up a little bit. Because I think we were raising a nation, a generation of absolute softies.
I agree with you, Niall. I couldn't agree with you more because, you know, so Jude, is it?
Jude is his name, yeah.
Yeah, so Jude, you oppose my idea or are you...
Look. I oppose the idea, but I definitely think, even on a practical level, particularly Ireland, couldn't afford it. It wouldn't happen here. We couldn't afford it.
I would just stop. So, Jesus Christ, we've just spent 80 million, or the guts of 80 million, including what we lose to the economy in the last 8 months on a virus. Of course we could afford it.
I don't think anything that's not voluntary is not a good thing.
National service. Do it for your country.
But it depends on sometimes.
Voluntary service should be there, absolutely. But I'm just saying, for those who are out in the streets, causing trouble, are slackers, should be in. Just that's what I think.
But how old are children, Noel, when they do their transition year?
How old are children? 16 usually, 15, 15, 15.
That's the perfect age. Just coming out of puberty. Just coming out of puberty. They'll find the right direction. Don't be disciplining them. Just show them what they can achieve in life and give them self-belief because I've never seen this country. But it's training you to be a good person. That's all it is. And giving you physical challenges. And if you have a healthy body, you have a healthy mind, Jude. Would you agree?
So say if someone is, say, as you say, wayward, right? But they're not physically well. Say they have some sort of physical impediments. They're not going to be
okay, it's a rule out of a physical impairment, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Rule anything out that's going to cause them problems. But, Jude, you have a son about 17 or 18. Would you let him go into the Dutch or the Irish Army?
Definitely not the Irish Army. No, I wouldn't because I wouldn't let him. No country or anything. He's not that. He's as patriotic as I am. No country or anything is worth dying for.
Okay, by the way, somebody mentions a good idea here. Somebody says, I think we should follow the Israeli model. While army service is mandatory in Israel, not everyone serves in the army. Many serve in government departments, even in the police. My cousin was given 6 months basic training in the army and then served in the Ministry for Justice. So there's not a bad idea. So in other words, once they get you into the army, they kind of see what you might be good at. If they believe that you might be better in the police, they'll move you there for a while, or you get moved out of that, maybe into the fire service. In other words, you're working for the state or somewhere where there's a bit of schedule and a bit of regime. Okay, well, do me a favor, stay there. Let me just go to June as well. Just finding this.
Hi.
Hi, June.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while.
Yes, it has.
What do you think of Thomas's idea? 22 years of age, and I think he has a wonderful idea.
Of mandatory conscription?
Well, of some sorts, yeah. He kind of hasn't really thought about it, but obviously hasn't thought about the ins and outs of it.
Well, I would disagree.
Okay.
My opinion is rather colored by, I grew up in America and came of age during the Vietnam War.
Okay.
Conscription there did not end in the 80s. It ended in, I think, the late summer of 74.
Oh, was it? Okay. I thought it went on a bit longer than that. Maybe.
No, it didn't. It was ended because my brother was next up.
Okay.
To be cannon fodder. So.
Okay. To be cannon fodder. Okay.
Yeah. Because it was a terrible war.
Of course it was.
I mean, like, it was, we had no reason.
It was the most messed up war ever in the history of mankind, I think.
It was awful. And the damage it caused all over Vietnam from...
innocent people being shot for no reason.
Yeah.
Men sent out just to get numbers. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, and then, like, nearly 60,000 Americans died, but over 3 million Vietnamese died.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I don't have any problem with... my father was a World War II veteran, and he served in...
but you're focusing very much on war. I mean, nowadays, with the exception of what's happening in the Middle East, which is every now and again destabilized, which is not as bad as it certainly was, I mean, there isn't really wars anymore, June. Most wars now will be fought through the internet, will be fought through politics.
Well, what would you call Syria?
Well, that's what I said to you. With the exception of what's happening in the Middle East at the moment, you know, realistically around the world, we're probably not going to see a war in Europe again. It'll be fought on the internet.
I have no problem with having to serve in the reserves, but you're comparing, or some of those that are speaking at the moment are comparing it.
Morris, yeah.
To Israel, but Israel is a very militarized nation for reasons that we...
well, you could argue America is, and you know, a lot of fine men go into the military in America, and women, by the way, more recently.
Yeah, but...
it's very common. They're very patriotic in America.
Yeah, but they're enlisted. That's the difference.
Oh, no, I know. I'm aware of that. I'm not saying they're forced to do it, but they want to do it.
If you talk to anybody, and I have three nephews who served abroad during the Iraq War and Afghanistan. They're not in anymore, but they never had a whole lot of time. Historically, the enlisted really, except for like during World War II, the enlisted guys really didn't have a whole lot of time for the conscripts.
Yeah.
I don't have any problem with maybe... like the equivalent of the National Guard or something.
Mm-hmm.
But then the National Guard was forced to serve.
Thomas's suggestion. He's not suggesting, you know, throwing two lads in there or three girls or whatever it is and throwing a gun over the shoulder and say, off you go. I think it's
more... they don't do that with conscripts. They do train them.
Yeah, of course, I know that. I'm just saying, it's not a case of teaching people to be killers or whatever. It's teaching people, you know, how to, you know, get up in the morning, make your bed, cook, you know, deal with situations. And there could be more to it than military.
I think in a way you're doing a disservice to many fine young people that I know who are very well-mannered. And who are smart, and
they're a bit soft, aren't they?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, they're easily offended.
Sorry, say it again, Thomas.
They're easily triggered.
They are. Not all of them.
He said
they're easily triggered. Not all of them, June, but a lot of them are. They don't. I find that young guys and girls now in their 20s, their early 20s, sort of between the age of 18 and 24, they go through college, and it's normally the ones with the pink hair that start all the problems, and all of a sudden, you know, they're fighting against everything.
The what card?
The ones with the pink hair, they usually start the problems. Okay. But anyway, they're easily triggered, they're upset by everybody, they're upset by everything, everything, and they're soft.
Niall,
they're soft.
I'm not dissing military service. I'm just saying that I don't think it's a solution, and I don't think that maybe the reserves. Maybe you have to serve in the reserves, which is very different, you know. But an awful lot of the ordinary enlisted men in the United States, a lot of them are from lower. I'm not saying this is bad. I'm saying this is the reality. Are from lower socioeconomic
groups. Absolutely.
and they get education.
But, is, but, they, get, but isn't that what Thomas is saying?
Would you let me finish?
Yeah. Sorry.
They get really good medical.
Yeah.
They get training so that they have a skill and they have something when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's a good option for them.
Okay, but sometimes,
I'm agreeing with you.
But what the point Thomas is making is there are kids out there, when I say kids, 19-year-olds, 18-year-olds, who leave school, who drop out of college maybe or don't go to college at all. We know we're talking about people who might come from a low socioeconomic background, bad upbringing, hanging around with the wrong people, end up in gangs. And, you know, they're not going to voluntarily walk in the door and join up. You might have to force them to do it.
Well, I have to say, I don't think conscription is the answer to that. That's just right, my opinion.
So, yeah, well, sorry, Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, so, June, you'd rather those people just go back in the streets and cause more havoc then, is that it? I'm not trying to attack you here, I'm just simply suggesting that if you don't put them in boots and berries and get them to stand to attention and enforce the military drill into them, get that discipline into them.
But surely they would get that from the reserves, and I have no problem with that. I just think
if they don't get in, they're basically going to go out in the streets and cause more trouble, smoke some dope, and
I have to disagree. I don't think conscription is the answer to that.
I'm not talking about conscription. I'm talking about what's called national or
a national service.
Yeah,
same. It's got the same thing with a nicer name. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's much the same thing.
Mm, yeah. Sorry, Jude. Just finally, in relation to what Thomas is saying. So, what's the answer for the wayward kids of 19?
Wayward kids. Well, unless they don't break the law, there's the justice system and there's jail. But I don't.
But a lot of them do break the law. But we don't have space in prison, so they end up just, you know, getting a slap on the hand and a Public Order Act warning or something like that, or whatever it happens to be, caution in a Garda station by a sergeant under the Public Order Act or JLOs or whatever you call them.
So a harsher justice system instead of military.
Well, we don't have the money for harsher. So we don't have the. You can't be putting fellas in prison for robbing a car constantly all the time.
So we have the huge amount of money to spend on
COVID-19. Oh, sorry, conscription. Well, I would prefer to be spent on conscription than throwing them into a cell. You know what I mean? Because that's not the answer either, is it? Because you don't want to make them worse. Because we all know the story. If you put some young fella 19 who's a car thief or a small-time criminal into Mountjoy, he comes out an even better criminal. So that's pointless.
Why not have some kind of militarized service? Mandatory. Either you go to jail or you go to this.
Okay, well, that's what Morris said earlier on. I think our Thomas.
Yeah,
well,
I didn't hear him earlier on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it was Thomas or Morris said that earlier. I'm not too sure who said that earlier on. Yeah. Oh, was it you, Jude? It might have been you. I can't remember who said it. But listen, I've run out of time. Thank you very much, Jude. Thomas, listen, thank you very much indeed. You're a very bright young man, by the way. Where, are you in college, Thomas, by the way?
I am in college, yes.
But, what are you studying?
I'm actually studying communications at the moment.
All right, okay. Well done. I think you'll go a long way. All right. Good idea. All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Thomas. I appreciate you coming on the air. There you go. Thomas, good young man, 22 years of age, with a bright future because he can see the future. And he can see ahead, and he's concerned about the way that young people are being brought up today. And he's probably bloody right.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hit.